Joining me in the studio now is Public Works Director Mike Miller. And Mike, it's been a while since we sat down and conversed a little bit.
It has been.
How are things going at Public Works?
It's going great. We're always busy. We're always excited about doing special projects and taking care of the town and making it look really nice for all the community events that are taking place.
How has it been COVID-wise? Were you able to maintain staff and everything, or did you have the ups and downs like everybody did?
We've had the ups and downs. We did, you know, really well up until August of last year. And then that's when Delta came through and we lost. We had absences of probably between a third and half of the staff, you know, for that 3-week time period. So it was, you know, that end of August, first of September was really difficult. And then, you know, everybody was well and doing everything they're supposed to do. And we've had, you know, a few folks that have been out occasionally, you know, from time to time because of either a family member or themselves. But we haven't had any widespread illness in Public Works. We've been pretty healthy.
In August, what did that do to your timeline of things? Did it kind of make everybody that was healthy work a little bit harder, or did it shut some things down?
We went to more of a skeleton crew, just doing kind of the basic things that we needed to get done.
Prioritize,
and then just doing priority projects and then backing off on some of the other items that we would normally take care of.
And so now things are better. You've got a more full schedule coming up for this summer?
We do. So, you know, we're pretty much fully staffed. We're right now, we're interviewing for a facilities worker. So we had a facilities member leave and you know, go on in another direction, and which is great, you know, great for them. Bad for us because that's, you know, a third of our staff for facilities. And then I have a GIS analyst position that's we're currently looking to refill. Out of that, we're fully staffed as far as regular employees. Our difficulty is getting seasonal help. So our seasonal workforce is down, and we're pretty competitive with our wages. It's just people have other opportunities and looking for, you know, other work. So
what kind of duties does a seasonal worker have? What kind of responsibilities do you have for that?
So primarily in parks. So park maintenance and so mowing lawns, you know, trimming shrubs and taking care of trees, trash pickup. A lot of our parks employees or people that are assigned to parks, you know, because of COVID, and we're still, you know, we're not totally out of COVID yet, but what that has done is really focused on the necessity of cleaning the restrooms, the public restrooms. And so what people don't understand or don't see is that we're in there twice a day cleaning public restrooms, which, you know, is a full-time staff member basically going through and fortunately for us, it usually is a seasonal, going through and you know, wiping down, cleaning, and disinfecting the restrooms at all of our parks.
A curious question is, how many public restrooms does the city work on? I mean, I know the one that's on Bay Street. You got the one at Miller Park, right?
We have two at Miller Park.
Two at Miller Park now.
Yeah. So two at Miller Park, one at Rolling Dunes. So the one off of 35th, one in Old Town, and then one over at Greenway Park, which is the Greenway Park is the one over by the water treatment plant.
Do they pretty much stay open 24/7, or are they closed at night?
Old Town, Maple Street, what we call Maple Street Plaza, those are open 24/7. But the ones at Miller Park are, they're timed out. So they close at night and then they reopen in the morning, magnetic locks. The new facilities at Miller Park, the new concession stand restroom and storage facility, that one just has been made available this summer. And so it tends to be, you know, in the shoulder season is locked, so we don't need the extra restrooms, and then we open it up for basically on the baseball season, and then during the summer we'll close it back up once we get into fall. And then the ones over at Rolling Dunes is also locked at night.
Summertime means a lot of tourism, but it also means some of the best weather to get things done. how have you prioritized, you know, what needs to be done with, you know, the amount of traffic and that that's going to be associated with it for this summer?
So this summer, we're focusing on, you know, some of our traditional maintenance activities. So crack sealing operations, vegetation clearance, those type of activities will be taking place for us. As far as large projects, we have a chip seal operation this summer. We have annual striping. It's usually a couple of days later in the summer. But for major construction this summer, our projects aren't quite in the queue yet for construction. They'll probably be late fall and next spring is what we're looking for our large projects.
And we're still waiting for a series of good weather days to finish off 9th?
Absolutely. So, you know, now that we're through Memorial Day weekend and we're getting that really good weather. And so that's the real key for 9th Street. 9th Street is different than a typical paving project because we're doing what's called a grind inlay. So we're actually grinding out the total roadway, which lowers that pavement profile. And then we're also coming back with a glass grid, which is a road fabric that goes down. And what that does is it prevents any cracking underneath from reflecting back up through the new pavement. So it'll give us longevity for the roadway. But what that means is we can't have rain. Because if we have rain, and even just a little bit of rain, the water has nowhere to go because the street's been ground down below the gutter line of the street. So we have to wait until we have that, you know, I mean, there can be a little bit of drizzle, but there can't be that, you know, quarter of an inch of rain or a tenth of an inch of rain because the water's going to go somewhere and it's going to pond up and ruin the paving operation.
See, I wondered about that because I knew from talking with Aaron and that you needed a certain temperature, you know, in order to be able to do this several days in a row. I didn't realize the water aspect of that, but it makes sense if you're doing the grind, it's below ground, it's below sewer level.
Yeah, and we've been working with the contractor. Unfortunately, contractor hasn't been ready. We haven't had those weather windows like we typically see. If you go back and you look at April, you know, April was, you know, above average, significantly above average for rain. May is also turning out that way. Depending on where you live in the community, anywhere's from about 7 inches of rainfall to, you know, out towards, say, Hasita Beach area, upwards of 10 to 11 inches of rainfall. So we have a lot of different microclimates, but it's been extremely wet, especially when you compare. And I think the average is about 3.99 inches of rainfall for May. So anything that's, you know, in that 7 to 10 inch range, yeah, it's been really wet.
Do you guys look at predictions when it comes to that, what the weather forecasters might be predicting? Or is it kind of hard because we don't really have a weather station focused right here on our coastal area? It's out of Portland. How does that come into play when you're trying to plan stuff?
So we do. We look at those weather windows. And, you know, there was a really sweet spot about mid-April that we were really looking at. And it was a two-week look ahead. Looked fantastic, and then, you know, everything changes. So we have to be flexible, and we need to be able to be pretty nimble in order to take advantage of these weather events. Right now, with the contractor, as we start getting into summer, you know, we were hoping that 9th Street would have been paved in April. Rain and weather has not been to our favor. Also, temperature. Because it was really cold also. So that plays a big, significant role too, especially when we're getting asphalt from Eugene, because that's where the nearest plant is. And if it's cold over in Eugene, if it's 30 degrees or 32 degrees and trying to, an hour and a half drive over here, takes the temperature off that asphalt. Asphalt, you know, it's 212 degrees Fahrenheit. And if it cools off too quickly, then the material
is... It's a big lump.
It's a big lump, and it you cannot work it. And it makes for a really terrible roadway. Yeah. A lot of cracking, a lot of issues. So you have to look at that too as we look at that weather window.
Well, the difficult thing too, I would imagine, is because it's getting busier now, and this is going to be our busy time, you've got the hospital, which generally sees their activity increase because of dune wrecks and stuff like that. You see the police department, that may actually increase in workload and stuff. And you have to do that. You have to make that accessible for them. So it's sort of one of those, like, you know, everything comes together at once and could cause, you know, some problems.
Yes.
Or challenges.
Challenges. Yeah. But, you know, hospital does have that secondary access on road and in and drive. And there's always ways to get, you know, with lights and sirens, there's always a way to get them through the construction zone.
Yeah, that's a good thing. So any other major implementations you're going to do? How's the airport doing and all that stuff?
So airport's doing great. We're looking at some future projects that will be coming up, looking at basically some sealing and repaving of taxi lanes. So taxi lanes are the connector lanes between the hangars to the taxiway, which is parallel to the runway. Doing that, doing resurfacing and sealing of the apron, the ramp area, as well as one of the big projects that we left off when we did the lighting upgrade was an actual reconditioning of the runway itself. That was too much money at the time, basically more than what we had from the FAA to do the project. So we postponed that. Pavement's actually in really good shape out there. And so we'll be looking at doing the runway, taxiway, taxi lanes, and the ramp sealing projects probably in 2024 is what we're targeting. So it's a grant program that we go through the FAA to get those type of monies and looking at that and some other projects out there to address storm drainage towards the, I guess that would be the southwest of the airport.
Now, imagine the way it's set up. There's probably never been any discussion of maybe a secondary runway facing, you know, a different heading, has there?
No. And you know, the size of the airport. So you have to understand the size of the airport. We are confined. We can't actually make the runway any wider because of the impacts with the taxiway and then also where the hangars are currently located. Now, in our 20-year capital improvement plan for the airport, we do call for an extension of the runway to the north. But that's one of those, unfortunately, with the FAA and Federal Aviation Administration, you cannot do the Field of Dreams, build it and they shall come.
Right.
You have to have a demonstrated need. And we're just not right there yet. We don't have the larger twin engine jets coming in. You know, we do have some small corporate jets that do fly in, but we need that documentation that says that they're either taking off with, you know, half of their fuel and having to go to another airport to fuel up, or we're, you know, actually bringing in some heavier planes that that need that extra runway length.
And the problem with that is most pilots, if they know that's not available there, they're not willing to take those chances to come in lower. So, yeah, kind of a catch-22.
Catch-22.
All right. Anything else that's on the list, your field of dreams?
There we go. So some really, you know, great projects that will be coming up, of course, is what we've all been waiting for is Road In and Drive, Wild Winds to 35th Street. That construction will probably actually start later in the fall. So we're just wrapping up engineering, working with Lane County to address some of their needs for New Hope Lane. So that's the street that takes you up to the transfer station. That is a county road. It's actually technically a private road. It's not something that we maintain, but the county would like to participate in our project and do some improvements with that roadway. So we're working on that. Our engineering staff is working with that, or consulting engineers working on that with the county and getting them some numbers for that. And then, of course, we've got some really great grant projects that are coming up. We were just awarded a recreational trail grant for the Siuslaw Estuary Trail. So that we just got the notice to proceed on that one. So we'll be going into final engineering, getting that out to bid, and hopefully late summer, early fall, we actually have that under construction. So that's a great project that will basically link Highway 126 with a trail system down Redwood by next to the estuary and coming back out to Quince Street. So a very cool project that's been a long time in the making. So we're very excited about getting that one under construction and having that one wrapped up. And then another grant that we have out there that is currently being reviewed through the National Park Service is our land water conservation grant for expansion of pickleball at Rolling Dunes Park. In association with that will be the resurfacing of the existing tennis courts. And because there was some additional money, and we haven't actually seen it, we have put in the request, is to replace the restrooms there and the picnic shelter. So really, a really nice rehabilitation project for that, plus that expansion of the pickleball at Rolling Dunes.
Now, is the pickleball court separate, or can they use the tennis? Is it interchangeable?
So it is interchangeable. The existing tennis court now is configured to have, I believe, six tennis or pickleball courts on it. We are doing an expansion specifically for pickleball, and then we'll resurface the existing tennis courts and then have it restriped again for that dual purpose. So they can play pickleball. They can also play tennis when people aren't there. I think it's really important that we maintain and keep that tennis court active, because it is the only public tennis court in town. There isn't anything at the school district, and so it's really important for the community to have that opportunity. Pickleball is very active, and there's a lot of activity at that park, so that expansion really helps with that. But also having the ability to play tennis is something that I think a lot of people look forward to.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Sounds like you got a lot on your plate, though.
We do. We always do.
Yeah. Well, that's good. City in motion, right?
It is.
There you go. Mike Knorr, thanks so much.
You bet. Thank you.
Coming up in the next hour of Our Town, we'll talk with Fire Marshal Tony Miller and Matt House.